Good morning, everyone. I'm Peter Gettler. It's my honor and privilege to be president and CEO of the Cato Institute. Thanks so much for being here. We had a small event last night, and we had a spirited discussion about whether we should be optimistic or pessimistic about the future of our country and liberty. And with two wars raging, the government spending money trillions at a clip, and despite the fact that government fails miserably at almost everything it does, it keeps insisting on pushing itself further and further into our lives. So I certainly understand why there would be reason for pessimism. In fact, I've heard that in the almost 9 years I've been at Cato. In fact, my first year at Cato, I was meeting with one of our supporters, and he said, "We're doomed." And I've heard that a few times. And I think that's actually kind of an odd comment to make when there's never been a better time to be alive as a human being. And I don't agree with it, even though, again, there's reason for pessimism. Whenever someone tells me we're doomed, I say, "I don't agree with you. But if you're right and I'm wrong, at least my kids are going to see me go down swinging, because we're not going to give up." And I'm so inspired by the founders of this country because they didn't give up. And when you think about the size of government today and the power that it holds over our lives, I think we seem to be tempted to believe that the challenges faced by the founding generation were somehow quaint, and that the challenges we have in defending, advancing liberty in our lives is much more difficult than what they faced. And I think it's the height of arrogance to believe that, because when you think of what the founders faced, you know, the ideas of limited government, limited self-government, and individual liberty weren't common ideas at the time. Those were concepts that the founders virtually invented. They didn't have 250 years of evidence that free enterprise and free markets create the best conditions for prosperity and human flourishing. So they weren't able to marshal the same arguments that we can today. In fact, they lived at a time when life hadn't changed for millennia and the standard of living hadn't changed for millennia. Furthermore, they didn't have the resources and communications technology that we have at our disposal today to spread our message and ideas. And perhaps most importantly, today, those of us who fight to defend and advance liberty don't have to pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to do so the way the founders did. So I take great inspiration from the fact that despite the momentous challenges they faced, they didn't give up. And my colleagues and I at Cato, we're not giving up either. And I'm very happy that the people who support Cato, many of whom are here today, aren't giving up either. In fact, 3 years ago, the supporters of Cato entrusted more resources to us in a single year than they ever had in our history. And then 2 years ago, they did it again. And last year, they did it again. And in our fiscal year that will end next month, they're going to do it again. So the people who generously make Cato's work and mission possible are not giving up. They feel a sense of urgency about the path that our country is on. They feel a significant responsibility for determining what kind of world their children and grandchildren are going to live in. Most gratifyingly to us at Cato, our supporters are affirming the strategic direction of the Institute and are very positive on the programs and initiatives that we have underway to better execute on our mission. In the folders you have, there's a document in there called the Vision for Liberty, Securing Our Dream for the Next Generation. And it highlights the strategic direction of the Institute and the programs and initiatives that we have underway. And again, I'm very gratified that this has resonated so strongly with our supporters, that they are affording us the resources in which to accelerate the plans that we have. And we do have very big plans for the future. And the reason is, again, the challenge is, while they might not be quite as great as the ones the founders faced, the challenges we do face are significant. And so it is going to take a forceful response to overcome them. We have built, continue to build, I think, the strongest team that we've ever had. Cato is more engaged with policymakers in Washington and the states, policymakers of both parties, than I think we've ever been. We have we take the words of Milton Friedman to heart, that you know the future course of policy is going to depend on the reform ideas we develop, and those that happen to be available when political windows of opportunity open. And so focusing on developing new reform ideas is something that our team does quite effectively. I think our cutting-edge technology and content is reaching a larger and more diverse audience than it ever has. A few years ago, I was here and I described to you an initiative, Project Sphere, that we were going to get underway. We're going to have our first conference of 165 teachers in Washington in the summer of 2019. That network of teachers is now 8,000 strong, and we're shooting to grow it to 20 to 40,000 over the next few years. That program is going to be supplemented by Cato courses and Cato University, which we'll be relaunching this year. Bottom line is we're reaching more young people and students every day. I share with a small handful of our most important supporters the materials that I give to the board at each of our board meetings. And I sent these materials to one of our most important supporters here in Florida a couple of months ago, and he sent me back a message. He said that he was inspired by the work we're doing in the direction of the Institute, and furthermore, he admired the commitment that we've made to continuous improvement. Facing the challenges and overcoming the challenges that are in front of us means we have to get better every day, and that's something that we're really, really committed to. I'm very gratified that my leadership team is willing to put everything we're doing on the table and analyze it regularly. So I feel, again, some sense of pessimism I would share about where America is, but a really strong sense of excitement at the momentum that Cato has, and very, very strong gratitude for the level of support that we're getting from our generous sponsors. So those of you who are here and support Cato, thank you so much. If you don't support Cato, please join us. We are all in this because we care deeply about we all had the luxury, I've said this before, in Naples. We grew up in a relatively free country. We've each been able to live our version of the American dream. And if we deny our children and grandchildren that same opportunity to script their version of the American dream, it'll be our shameless legacy. So please, if you're not supporting Cato, join us. If you are supporting Cato, increasing your support, considering a major gift or a legacy commitment, something that we greatly appreciate, because those types of commitments that we've received, including from people in this community, have allowed us to accelerate what we're doing.